You know, fathers, we have a way of doing things our own way. Can I hear an amen? Maybe I should ask all the women. Can I hear an amen, ladies? Okay. Yes. Don't worry, dads. This is not a sermon to call you out or step on your toes. But if you feel like I'm going to, it's just God speaking to us. So maybe want to fold your feet underneath the chair. But fathers have a way of doing things their way, but there seems to be a problem when our way of doing things is not exactly what our Heavenly Father desires or says. Now, I'm not a perfect father, but I have learned that it is vital for me as a dad to seek the wisdom of my Heavenly Father because, see, He is a perfect dad. And the marquee sign outside does say Happy Father's Day, but it says time with God. In that time with God and in that time in His Word, I learn. He teaches me how to be a better dad. He teaches me. Now, for wives, He teaches you how to be a better wife. For children, He teaches you how to be a better child as you spend time with Him and time in His Word. It's something about being in His presence that where sin can't remain and pride can't remain, but somehow in His presence, all of that has to go. Somehow in His presence, He reveals to you, or the Spirit reveals to you, who you really are. In His presence, your motives are revealed. In His Word, it's like a mirror, and you see that big, huge, ugly zit on your face called pride. And the Word of God reveals things that's in your life that shows you what needs to be gone. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. Let's go there. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today in chapter 16. God, I thank you. I thank you. It says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Holy Spirit, reveal truth to us today. God, we want to leave this place, Lord, with information, God, that cannot be received by just regular man or but by the physical, but by spiritual purpose and power. Father, I pray that we leave out of this building, Lord, with something that we can apply to our lives spiritually and then physically. Spiritually, because spiritual things matter more than physical things, God. Lord, I pray you speak to us. I pray that every person, not just fathers, not just adults, but every single person in this room receive a truth from your word that we could apply to our lives that will make us better children of the Most High God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says all the ways. Now, the word the ways means a road that's traveled on, a course of life or a course or mode of action. That is what that way means. All the ways. So all the ways of a man, all the modes or the courses of action, all the plans that you have, all of the ways of man are clean. That word clean means clear. Those of you that have glasses, you just probably just can't stand when your glasses are smeared. You got to take them off. You got to use that little towel and wipe off. Why? Because you want to be able to see clearly. Somehow all the ways of man are clean. We look at it as something that's pure or clear in his own eyes. In his own eyes means in my own outward appearance or what I think is best, what I am seeing. A lot of times we do that to people. We look at someone and we begin to do what? Judge the book by its cover. By what we see, we begin to have thoughts in our minds of who that person is or who she is, just by looking on the outside. All the ways of man, because we look at a certain thing, oh, I think it needs to be done this way. Kind of like when you open up a box. Now, I have three, of course, no longer three, fan boxes. I had three of them in my kitchen. It took me a while to put them up. And so I'm down to one. I got one more left. But I put up a light and a fan in Lydia's room. I put a light and fan in Josiah's room. And maybe some guys would be to say would say, I don't ever read the instructions. I've done it so many times. What is so difficult about putting a fan light on? Duh, black to black, white to white, green to green. Okay. And it's because you've done it so many times, you don't need to look at the instructions. But you've never put that one together before. But somehow all the ways of man are clean or pure. I can do it. I don't need any help. Ah, leave me alone. I could do it. I could do it myself. They're pure, they're clean in our own eyes, on our own outward appearance. But then it continues to say, but the Lord, we know who the Lord is. The Lord weighs, the Lord balances, the Lord measures out, the Lord arranges. Through the idea of leveling, the Lord weighs the spirits. What's the spirit? The spirit of man. Body, mind, and spirit. So our spirit, what we're thinking, sometimes what we're feeling, but what we're thinking. So God weighs out. He balances all of our motives or what we're thinking. And if we tend to fall for all the ways of man are clean in my own eyes, I'm not going to realize that there is something that I may think is right, but God says, you a big dummy. It is totally wrong. Now, I was going to ask how many men have ever tried to put something together and it didn't work. You put something together, you had extra screws and bolts and washers. Ah, I don't need them. Then why did they come with the box? Why did they come with it? Ah, I don't need them. Somehow you tend to think that you're better than the manufacturer that built that fan or whatever it is you put together. It didn't need another screw. It didn't need a washer. It didn't need a back washer. It didn't need those things that came in the box that they gave it to you. So somehow the manufacturer just thought, I'll throw them an extra screw. How many of you are ever glad you needed that extra screw? Because you lost the other ones, right? Okay. And so we may think that things are going on in our life as A-okay. You come to the church today. Maybe you come to church any day and you think, I'm good. I'm good. All the ways of man are clean in their own eyes. But you just allow the Lord to weigh your heart. You allow the Lord to weigh and check and balance your motives, to check and balance your mouth, to check and balance how you treat others. You will just allow God into that little room of what you tend to do and what you think is right. And God's going to do some spring cleaning. Oh, I can't believe this knucklehead thought that was right. I can't believe this idiot. Not he would call you an idiot, but I can't believe this idiot think that that was the right thing to do. I'm glad that God doesn't call us names, but he does weigh the spirits. Let's drop down to verse 7. The reason being is because I keep seeing the part where it says the man's ways. Verse 2, all the ways of man. Verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord. Oh, that's good. When man's ways, how can man's ways please the Lord? When the course of life is in righteousness, not your righteousness. God's righteousness, because your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your righteousness is rubbish. That's why we can't get to heaven on our own self, because of what we've done, because of who we are, because of how we smell, how good we look. We're not going to get to heaven that way. We get to heaven based on Jesus's righteousness, because his righteousness is clean, pure, holy. That's who he is. That's why we need Jesus. That's why Jesus said there is no other way to get to heaven, for he's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to get to the kingdom of God but through him. Why? Because he is the righteousness. So when a man's ways please the Lord, when the course of life is in righteousness, a life of unrighteousness, a life of a course of life or actions or modes that is in unrighteousness, it will never please the Lord. Why? Because unrighteous acts, unrighteous life separates you from the Lord. That's why God sent Jesus, because all of our righteousness was as filthy rags, as nasty, disgusting rubbish. So therefore, God sent his righteousness, which is Jesus. And because of that righteousness, now we can have relationship. We're no longer separated from God, because God has provided a righteousness. God has provided a savior for us. And so how can a man's ways please the Lord when the thing, your ways, your course of actions, your road that you're traveling on, your mode of action is in righteousness, his righteousness. Because if it's not, we're separated from the Lord. It says he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's the blessing of the Lord right there.
He makes that neighbor that you can't stand because they're always leaving the front yard trash and loud music. God allows that person to be at peace with you if you're doing and saying things according to his righteousness. Anybody ever have a neighbor like that? Keep the grass really high. You just can't stand it because, I mean, you just really like to make sure your front yard is just looks great and it's cut. If you don't like the tall grass, maybe one day to say, God, is it okay if I cut their yard? Is it okay if I just cut a little bit more and just help them out a little bit? Some of you are like, you got to be crazy. My response is, well, then stop thinking of your ways. What would God want you to do? Verse 9, it says, a man's heart. Now we're going into the heart, from ways to heart. A man's heart. A man's heart. The heart means the thoughts or feelings. The mind devises or deviseth, fabricates, figures out a plot to contrive his way. Not God's way, but the man's way. Again, a road trodden or walked, a course of life. But the Lord directs or establishes or fixes, prepares his steps. I love when God directs my steps. But guess how God's going to direct my steps? When my ways are not followed, but his ways are followed. Because if my ways, my course of action, if that's not what God wants me to do, then I am not going to please him. Then he's not going to make my enemies to be at peace with him. And then I'm not going to do what God is wanting me to do. But if I say, okay, God, you know what? My ways, I want to do this, God. But God, what do you think about that? I'm acknowledging him in all of my ways. I'm talking with him. I'm trying to get insight from him. I'm trying to know what he wants me to say, what he wants me to do to that unruly neighbor. God, what do you want me to do? Because right now, I just want to go ahead and just send, you know, call a bunch of dogs and just tell them to go over there and just, you know, hang out in their front yard for a while and just, you know, take care of business. That's what I want to do, God. But God, what do you want me to do? Again, allow God to balance your motives. Allow God to balance your actions of what you think is right. Again, you're wiping your glasses and what you see is right, clean, and pure. But God says, that's not what I see. Let me show you the word of God. Let me show you what my word says to point out to you. You got something wrong going on in your thinking. You got something growing on your face. And my word's going to show you what it is. If we allow God to balance our thoughts, to balance our course of life or our modes of actions, if we allow him to balance those things, if we make time to allow him, again, spending time with him and in his word, it will help us to be a better child of God. So it says, but the Lord directs and establishes. I want God. Don't you want God to fix some of your mistakes? Don't you want God to fix the mess ups that you make? And why did you mess up? Were you cautiously saying, God, is this where you want me? No, you messed up because you were doing whatever you wanted to do. You said whatever you wanted to say. Listen, I'm not a perfect father. This morning, you know, my kids, you know, said, you know, Happy Father's Day. And they gave me gifts this morning. And, you know, I walked out of the house thinking, man, I don't deserve any of this, God. You know, not trying to be too hard on myself, but God, I don't deserve any of this. Because who I am, that's because of you, God. That's because of what you're doing in my life. And any of you besides the fathers ever feel like you're just unworthy? Like, man, God, the family you gave me, the kids you gave me, the wife or the husband you gave me, man, I'm just not worthy. They're just too good. If you've never thought about that, can I encourage you to spend some time with God and in his word? Allow him to reveal to you what he's blessed you with, what he's given you. But the Lord directs, allow him to establish and prepare your steps. Verse 25, the danger of following our way, our course of action, our road that we're walking on. Verse 25 says, there is a way that seems right. The words that seem right is the face or countenance of a straight, upright, correct, pleasing. What is pleasing unto man? What's pleasing to me? There is a way that pleases me or seems right to me. You know, I thought about Achan. If you don't know who Achan is, he is one of the people and his family that's responsible for disobeying God's instructions when they were going to go, when they went into Jericho. They already walked over the Jordan River, and God was giving them the promised land, and they were going to overtake the city of Jericho. They were not supposed to take anything. No spoil from Jericho. Not a cup, not a gold cup, not a silver fork, not a gold shiny thimble, nothing. Everything that was there was supposed to just leave it there. Don't take it with you. But Achan, I don't know if they were just, you know, money hungry, or they just had sticky fingers, but they disobeyed. The choice and the decision of a father. Listen, dads. Because this is scary for me too. So I'm not just talking to you dads, and I'm not talking to me. The decisions that we make as fathers can ruin our family. You know what happened to Achan and his household? They all died. Why did they die? Because they disobeyed God and they took spoil, which was God's, because they were supposed to. God allowed them to take the city of Jericho, and all the spoil and everything was that was there. God says, that's mine first. I kind of like how Robert Morris said that God gave them Jericho, allowed them to conquer Jericho, but God said, everything that's there is mine. Give me the first spoil. I'll give you all the other cities. And God allowed them to conquer all the cities and all the other spoil. Kind of thinks about tithing. You put God first when you get paid. You put God first. God says, I want what I'm asking, my tithe. I'll bless you with everything else. And that's what happened. But Achan and his family decided not to. So listen, fathers, again, the decisions you make, even if you think, well, I thought it was right. Did you consult the Lord about it? Did you allow him to weigh and balance those thoughts, those actions, those motives of yours? Allow him to, and he'll direct and establish your steps. But that's what happened to Achan and his family. They thought that it was okay to take some of the spoil from Jericho. The decisions of a father brought ruin to the whole household. I pray. Look, Shannon and I, we pray for all the families in the church. We pray for the visitors that come. If we have one of your cards, we pray for them. We want every single family in this church to grow healthy in the relationship with the Father, to grow healthy with one another. It is a desire of ours. How else are we going to grow as a church? How else are you all, not just Shannon and I, but how else are you all going to grow healthy in your relationship with God to go ahead and compel some other family to come into this church? Listen, if you're not growing with the Lord, why are you going to invite another family to come into this place to grow if you're not growing? So we pray. We pray for every family that they will, that God will bless the household. And it's not just physical stuff. Okay, we're not just, it's not important. What's more important is your spiritual welfare, your spiritual being, your relationship with the Father. You allowing the Father to teach you men how to be men. You women allowing the Father to teach you how to be women of God. Also, King Saul, he thought that it would be okay. I thought Brian was going to touch on this. He did a little bit, but this morning in Sunday school, King Saul thought it would be okay to allow the people to bring back some spoil just as long as he prepared a sacrifice unto the Lord. I think Adam also said it also, that God desires obedience above any sacrifice we may give. You may think that something is right, or that something is right, and you know, and you have a thought that, well, it's wrong, but you know what? I'll sacrifice this to God. To kind of outweigh whatever you did was wrong, and you knew it was wrong. God wants you to obey him. He owns everything. A cattle upon 1,000 hills is what I've heard. I'd like to see all of that, but it'll be in heaven. But he owns it all. So you trying to sacrifice something just to kind of wash away your disobedience, that's not right. God just wants you to obey him. Obey him above sacrifice. In Jesus' name. But in the end thereof, verse 25. So there is a way that seems right. But the end thereof, the end of what? The end of the course of your actions, the end of what you decide of what is clean and pure, the end after you decide what is right or clean are the ways of death. May we learn wisdom and seek wisdom. And you know what? It's going to take more than 5 minutes of devotions to find it.
It's going to take more than a 10-minute devotional to find that. It's going to take more than 20 minutes of a devotional to find that. 30 minutes. You guys get where I'm going? It's going to take more than 30 minutes a day, a week, to find that wisdom of how you fathers can be the father that God wants you to be, how you mothers can be the mothers that God wants you to be, how you children can be the children that God wants you to be. If you spend time with God and in His Word, seek that wisdom. Let's drop down to Proverbs 16:31. I wasn't sure to speak on this, but I am getting a little bit gray-headed. But the hoary head, the gray-haired is a crown of glory. Why is that? Because of the wisdom of you growing, that you learn things. Now, there may be a person who is just totally, you know, your hair just turned a lighter shade or gray. It just turned a lighter shade of what it used to be. And the person can be far away from a relationship with God, but yet that person has a lot of wisdom through life's issues and things and mistakes. But so much more so as we as believers. It says the hoary head, the gray head is a crown of glory because of wisdom from old age. Now the wisdom would be God's wisdom. If it be found in the way of what? Righteousness. Again, not your righteousness, because your righteousness is filthy, but in God's righteousness. So for those of us that have, I pluck mine out every now and then. I see one, you know, coming out like this, and I'll just pluck it out. It hurts on my chin. I do it on my chin, but that hurts. I know. I've tried it many times. But, of course, I've always heard you pluck one, two, or three more come out. I just rebuke them in Jesus' name. But it says the gray head is a crown of glory. If it be found in the, notice, in the way, not your way, in the way of righteousness, God's righteousness. Then verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Let me just share this. Men, if you want to highlight that, underline that. If you don't have your Bible, look over and say, hey, highlight that, woman. But highlight that verse, because let me just share with you. Who knows? Maybe it's not across the bar that this verse is for predominantly for just for men, because there probably are some women that have more anger issues than men. But I just want to encourage you. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. Now, when I read that verse, I might have shared this before in a message. When I read that verse, I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think of Bruce Lee. These guys on the movie, they'll take a whole army. Chuck Norris, you know, somehow Rambo's he never ran out of ammunition. I mean, he never had to reload. It just seems like that. I mean, those of you that have ever seen Rambo movies, I'm probably aging myself, because Josiah's like, Rambo? What is Rambo? But I think about those movie stars when I read this verse. Listen what it says. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. There is no way that I can rule my spirit on my own, what I think is right, what my course of action, how clean I think it is, on my own righteousness, by my own strength. The only way that I can rule my spirit is with the help of God, by spending time with Him and knowing what His Word says, knowing the truth, allowing the Word of God to show my pride, my selfishness, to allow the Word of God to reveal some things that should not be in my life. And so therefore I am able, and when I'm able to rule my spirit with God's help, I'm mightier. I'm better than Chuck Norris. I'm better than Rambo. I can take on a whole army. I mean, because it says, he that rules his spirit than he that taketh a city. I have physically not seen one guy take a whole city. It says, then he, not them, not an army, he that taketh a city. Then I think about, you know, David and Samson, you know, but how many, you know, of course, you know, Samson killing thousands of Philistines with a donkey's jawbone. I mean, I think of that. Then he that takes a city, if I spend time with God and I allow him to teach me, to show me
But God, I think this is right. No, son, let me show you what's right. But God, I should say that. No, son, you're moving in pride right now. No, son, you need to humble yourself. No, son, you need to calm it down a little bit. Take a chill pill and calm down, because what you're moving in is not my righteousness. It's your righteousness. It's important that we do that. Here we are instructed with such great insight of our spirit and ability to overcome it, but not by our own strength, with God's help. Of course, we can do nothing of our own self. As Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. May our prayer be, oh, Jesus, help me to remain in you. Because without you, I can do nothing. You know, you could probably do something that has earthly value, but you can never do nothing. You can never do anything of eternal value if you are not with Jesus. How many of you fathers knew how to fix a problem without consulting the perfect father? Oh, I know how to do that. I've done that before. It's not the same situation. You might need to pray about it. You might need to wait. You might need to allow the Lord to weigh and check and balance your motives. You went about it the way you thought was best. Maybe you were right. You knew you were right because that's why you did it. Maybe you were right, but honestly, did your motive, action, or your plan, was it moving in the righteousness of God or yours? Was the Father pleased that you moved forward in that situation? Was your actions based on his righteousness? Then if it was, then praise God. Continue to do what you're doing. You're moving forward based on his righteousness, based on him allowing him to balance your motives. You see, the problem is that even though things went well, or even as planned, well, of course, because I did it, did you move forward being led by his spirit or by your own spirit? You see, as I mentioned about King Saul, he was not led by the spirit of God to take those spoils after God said not to. And then he's going to try to pawn it off when Samuel said, hey, why do I hear a sheep? Where'd that sheep come from? Oh, well, you see, some people, they wanted to take it, and so they brought it over. He's trying to pass the buck to the people that brought the stuff that disobeyed God. When he's king, he should have said, hey, y'all crazy. You need to leave that stuff there. That's not ours. That's God's. You see, was the Father pleased that you moved forward? Was it based on your actions or his? The problem is that even though we went, if things went well or even as planned, did we move by the leading of the Holy Spirit or by our own spirit? The Father is pleased, verse 7 says, the Father is pleased when the course of action was done in righteousness. Silly that we as men, as fathers, as husbands, think we know best. Like that old TV show, Fathers Know Best. I'm dating myself or aging myself, but I never saw that show. So just to let you know, I only heard about it, never saw it. It was on way before my time. Amen. Silly though, we as men, we at times think that we know best when we don't. You don't. What are you talking about? I don't. You don't. I don't say this, the word does. And we just read it. The ways of man, you look at it as it is clean and it is pure. You just let God intervene on what you're thinking about doing or your mode of action, and you allow his word to reveal the truth. You really don't know what you're doing unless you bring it to him, unless you confide in him, unless you allow his spirit to lead you. So you know what? Stop it. Stop what? You know what I'm talking about. Stop acting like that's not you. Stop thinking right now, that's not me. I don't have a problem with that. Allow the Holy Spirit, and I'm not even sure, but I just felt, because the Holy Spirit told me to type this, and this in my notes. It says, stop it. You know what I'm talking about. Trying to convince yourself that you are or were still right in doing what you did. But yet you're not honestly sure if what you did was really in your righteousness or God's righteousness. What does it matter? It worked out well, didn't it? What does God's word say about that? Let's read it again. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof, the end of what? The end of the course of action are the ways of death. You can consider the things that you're doing as right or good because it all worked out. It all worked out as planned. But is God leading your life? This is what you and I need to learn to do every day, that the Spirit of God is leading us. And what we're saying and what we're doing. I know I can't convict you. I'm not supposed to. It's the Holy Spirit that's probably already doing that. If that is an issue with you, that you think you know what's right, so you're going to do it without allowing God to balance and check your motives and your words, or your motives and your course of action. Fathers, begin today. Learn what it means to rely or lean on God's word and not your own understanding. Everyone, begin today to humble yourselves before a mighty, loving, merciful Father who wants to be pleased in what we do. And if what we're doing is lining up to His word and His righteousness, a Father will be pleased in what we're doing. Proverbs 16:2 again, it says, man's ways are clean, they're right, they're pure in his own eyes, in his own mental state or qualities or ideas. But Yahweh, the Lord, weighs, he regulates, he measures, he balances, he tests, he proves your motives, your spirit, your seat of position, your emotion. Over the years, and I said this recently, over the years, many women have come before the Lord at this altar here, at the altar at the youth hall, when it used to be the church, and have prayed over their husbands and children. I wonder if there'll come a day, and maybe it already has, when men will fight spiritually just as hard as they. You see, there's a phrase that is common in the church circles, and I wasn't even one that grew up in the church. I was a Catholic boy. I went to Catholic Mass. I raised up, you know, or as soon as the priest raised up the Eucharist, I was the guy shaking the little bells. That was a kid that I did not grow up in church, kind of like what we're experiencing today. I didn't grow up in that. But a phrase that is common in the church circles, and I've heard many times, is that women are more prominent in church ministry, in witnessing, cleaning, discipling, doing the work of the Lord. That's not me saying it. I've heard this many times. It's a phrase that I pray will not define the men here at Hidden Treasures Assembly, but that both men and women, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, who will lead by example to fortify and build healthy families. To fortify and build their healthy families, to seek the Lord Jesus and to seek the lost. That's why Jesus came, to save us. And we need to go help and share that gospel so that others will be saved as well. So that the lost will come to repentance, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, so when Shannon and I pray, we don't just pray that you get a raise, although that would probably be good. But what is a raise going to do for you in the span of eternity? Why not we pray the fact that you draw in a closer, intimate, more intimate relationship with the Father? Why not that you wives learn to understand your husbands and to love your husbands as God wants you to? Why not you husbands to understand your wives and to learn how and what it means to love your wife? Because it gets me sometimes in Ephesians. It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That gets me. You see, when we spend time with him and we spend time with him in his word, we realize and we learn, if we want to, how we're supposed to live, who we're supposed to be. And if we do that, we please a heavenly Father. And the great thing is that whether you do things right or you do things wrong, God is still going to love you regardless. That's a love that none of us can fathom or comprehend. His love is so great because even though he knew we were sinners, Romans 5:8, he still sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Even though he knew you would lie, he knew you would cheat, he knew you would steal, he knew you would have a horrible attitude towards people, God says, I still love you, and I'm going to send Jesus to die for you. We need to learn how to be children of that great Father. And in time with him and in his word, we're going to learn how to do that.